not only learning, but I hope to learn, continue learning more and more with the kolel and from the kolel, but also in speaking with avrichim. I remember when I was your age, there were many things in life, being in the YU system, that I had lots of questions about in terms of growth in marriage and Bezer Hashem raising a family. And I hope that if there are things that you would like to speak about, to know that I'm here. I hope that shortly I'll be here Friday mornings, as well as being here on Thursday. I'll be here Friday mornings, Bezer Hashem, as well. Okay, in this week's parasha, in Parashas Ki Savlo, the Torah describes the mitzvah of Bikurim in a very, very joyous way. Perek Chavav Pasuk Yud Aleph. V'samachta b'chol atov. Asher nosan l'cho Hashem l'okechu v'esecho atov ha'alivi v'ager asher b'kerbecha. All of you will rejoice. Rashi, al pi chazal, changes the meaning of the pasuk v'samachta b'chol atov. It sounds like when we bring Bikurim we're going to be joyous. And Rashi sends us in a totally different direction. And because Rashi sends us in a totally different direction, we're going to end up in a third direction. So let's follow what Rashi says. The Samachta B'chol HaTov, says Rashi, Mikan Amru, from here we say, Ein Korin Mikra Bikurim, we cry in a joyous way, the Kriya Bikurim El Bizman Simcha. The Samachta B'chol HaTov tells us that we do it during the time of Simcha. Me'atzeres V'ad Achad, from Shuas until Sukkot. Sha'adam alaket vaso peirosav v'yeino v'shmeino avol michag ve'elach mevi ve'ina kore. So Rashi says that the mitzvah we hear of Simcha really doesn't mean to tell us that there's a mitzvah of Simcha. In fact, if you look around, you don't see the mitzvah of Simcha in the context of Bikurim, even though the Torah tells us the Samachta b'chol atoiv. Rashi says, what does the Samachta b'chol atoiv mean? It's the mechayiv of the zman. What's the zman that you have to bring Bikurim? The zman that you have to bring Bikurim is the zman between Shavuos and Sukkot. Why did Chazal turn the pasuk on its head? Why did Chazal say that there isn't a mitzvah, a particular mitzvah of Simcha when it comes to Bikurim? So the Sifsei Chachamim says that it can't be that there is a full-fledged mitzvah of Simcha, and here we have a Yisod Gadol in terms of human nature. Ki below zeh lo shach b'bikurim v'samach b'chol ha'kotov kim de bikurim iskish l'truma v'asurim l'zarim. We're bringing the bikurim, we're bringing our first fruits, and we're not going to be able to eat it. So if we're not going to be able to partake in it, says the Sifsei Chachamim, the pshat over here is that the samachta b'chol atov can't be that you're entirely rejoicing, but rather the mechayiv is the time of simcha for one to do mikra bikurim. That's what the samachta b'chol atov. Even though the pasuk we would have thought meant something else, but Chazal understood something entirely different. Be'ezer Hashem, what I would like to discuss tonight are these two bechinos, the bechina mikra bikurim and the bechina of simcha of particularly Sukkot. V'samachta b'chol atov, the zman over here starts with Shavuos, and we're supposed to complete the havas bikurim at the time of simcha of Sukkot. First of all, in terms of our elul towards marching, this whole process of Ani L'Dodi V'Dodi Li, marching from Elul, from Rosh Hashanah to Rosh Hashanah and Yom HaKippurim and Sukkot, is a march which is directly connected with each other. Sometimes it's important to keep our eye on the ball to see what's at the end, and thereby see how that could be mashpia on us at this particular time. What are Chazal saying when Chazal say the mikra bikurim has to be done at the time of simcha, the time between Kabbalah Satorah and Sukkot? So first of all, It starts with Kabbalah Sator, because only when we become Gerim can we really begin to internalize who we are and what we are. So the Zman starts with the Zman of Shavuos. In order for us to truly, truly appreciate what Simcha Lefnei Hashem is, we have to dig deep down first and do something else. We have to be maybe Bikurim. Havas Bikurim is Hoda, is thanks to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. For a person to truly reach the Madrega of Simcha, so that individual, in terms of Usmachtem Lefnei Hashem Elokeichem Shivas Yamim, so that person first needs to reach that Madrega of Hoda. Very pashut. For an individual to really understand the depth of his relationship with his wife, the first thing he needs to do is to be modeh, is to really, really admit how much, and express, b'hakaras hatov, how much thanks he has to her. For us to realize our unique and special relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we have to have that sense of hodah to HaKadosh Baruch Hu to be able to really, really internalize that. So the first step of Usmachtem Lefnei Hashem Elokeichem, this is the Bechina of Elul, that's our time right now, is the Bechina of Hodah. You know, I always emphasize that to the Talmidim that I find that there's certain mistakes that I call Shana Bet mistakes. The common Shana Bet mistake that, it's a nachas now, because I now have my Talmidim, this is the first time I have my Talmidim from Shana Bet with me in the Kola. So they made the mistake probably 7 years ago, so they probably made the following mistake. And one of the mistakes that's made is that Talmidim are very, very sincere. And they intend to really, really grow. And they want to do tshuva on their averos of the past. But what they do is they focus on the wrong thing. Let me introduce it in the following Torah from Rav Aaron Lichtenstein Shlita. Rav Aaron asked that when it comes to the mitzvah of vidui, we find that the mitzvah of vidui in the Rambam is described in two different ways. On the one hand, there's a mitzvah of vidui that the Rambam describes as being misvada for the particular avera that one did, as the Rambam describes in Perek Aleph. And then the Rambam describes in Perek Beis a different type of vidui. The Rambam in Perek Beis describes a vidui in which you're not mefaret the chet. The chet, the Rambam doesn't mention it at all in the second vidui. But rather, what's this vidui that the Rambam calls the Iker vidui? The Rambam says, v'heicha misvada, how does one do the vidui? Give me a second, please, to find it. Avol anachnu chatanu. Perek Beis halacha ches and hilchos tshuva. Avol anachnu chatanu. In Perek Aleph, the Rambam says that you need to be mefaret the entire chet. In Perek Beis, he doesn't talk about being mefaret the chet, just avol anachnu chatanu, and that's the ikur vidui. Many times in the process of tshuva, and this is what I want to drive at in terms of hodah towards HaKadosh Baruch Hu, many times in the process of tshuva, what happens is we, as individuals, focus on the maisim that we want to change. The Talmud makes a list, he sits down, and he makes a list of things that he wants to work on, and these are the things that I want to improve on. But he doesn't realize that there's a shoresh to that avera, Baron explained. The ikur vidui is the realization of the shoresh, the root in his personality. The Nesiv Shalom in the Chassidish twist says in a slightly different way. He says that the first step of tshuva and the most important step is that sense of his of once again coming close with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But in both of those cases, whether you say it the way that Rav Aaron said it or you say it the way that Nesiv Shalom says it in Elul, either way the key is to focus on the shorish, is to focus on the root. Too many times we focus on the meisim. Now let me give you a practical example of how this could come out in simple psychological terms. You have a Talmud struggling with Shmiras Ha'inayim. It's a normal, healthy struggle. And he feels that this Talmud, objectively, this Talmud is much worse than many of the other Talmudim. One of the things that's important for us to ask in such a situation is, what exactly is his sense of inherent Kedusha? In other words, often a lot of averos are based on the fact that there is some type of chisaron in the shoresh that has nothing to do with how the aver comes out in its totsa'a. What do I mean by that? You know, we have expression in lumbus. The pu'ula is over here, but the chalos is over there. This is a classic example. You could have averos where the pu'ula looks like one thing, the let's say the chalos is one thing, but the pu'ula is actually something that's entirely different. In this case, this is really a sense of whether the Talmud really, really feels that he's capable of being a ben melech, whether he's really, really capable of being close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. If a person really, really believes that he that how great he is, in the sense that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has created him with a tremendous propensity of Kedusha, and that he has a deep and pure neshama that's inside, so that individual, once he's on that angle, he's seeing things from that perspective, so then it's easier for him to conjure the sense that this is not ra'ui for me. However, a Talmud who doesn't have that self-esteem in Avodas Hashem, so then of course the Milchama becomes that much more difficult. So the pu'ula, if you will, the shoresh, is a din in yeyush. It has nothing to do with the chetz of arayus itself. The chalos comes out that ultimately it comes out in a certain way. So we always have to examine in ourselves as well. Are we looking at the maisa? Are we looking at the shoresh? The same thing applies in terms of that sense of iskarvus that we aspire for of usmachtam lefnei Hashem elokechem shivas yamin. When we talk about that aspiration of usmachtam lefnei Hashem elokechem shivas yamin, we have to ask ourselves, are we really, really starting in the right direction? And in the right direction here, what Bikurim teaches us, that the right direction is first hoda'ah, is to really, really feel that sense of how HaKadosh Baruch Hu is so directly in tune to our lives. Each person, just think, just very, very simply, I give very, very simple examples when I talk about this because there's nothing complex. How lucky we are to be sitting and learning in Yerushalayim Yir HaKodesh, to have most of our needs taken care of. It's an amazing, amazing gefina. Now, if a person really, really, really internalizes that, wow. So then, HaKadosh Baruch Hu has given me so much. That means I must have a certain sense of closeness with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Just to spend time, hodah, thinking about that. Of course, Bali Musar say, then we come to the next step of tshuva. We draw a parallel before to tshuva. Now let's get practically to tshuva. Hodah, of course, is mechayiv, one to be modeh, to be misvada. When a person has that sense of hodah to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, so then he has the ability to say, well, wait a second, you know what? But I'm not living up to it. If I have this tremendous opportunity now, HaKadosh Baruch Hu has given me this tremendous opportunity, here's where I'm doing things right, and here's where I'm doing things wrong. Of course, we all know that the Avudram writes that Hodah is the one thing that you can't have a Shleach Bimotziyu with. That when it comes to Chazar Sashatz, all of the brachos, the chazan could be motzi the tzibur with, but there's one bracha that he can't be motzi the tzibur with. What's the one bracha? Modim. Modim d'rabbanan. Why? It says the Avudran, it's not something that you could have a shliach do for you. Why is that? Why is it that when it comes to the hodah, you can't have a shliach? Because every single person's hodah is unique. every person's hoda is particular to him and her individually. So it's not shayich to have the chazan be motzi you in hoda. Your hoda has to be something that's personal and unique and your own. That's why it fits in beautifully over here. V'samachta b'chol atov. You individually, every yachid, not usmachten. When it comes to sukkahs, there it's usmachten l'fnei Hashem l'okechem shivas yomim. But here we're not talking about, according to Chazal, we're not talking about the chiyuv of simcha b'powel. What's this v'samachta? Hidden behind this v'samachta is really the hodah, the first step of simcha. The first step of simcha, the chalos, the effect of iskaris v'akadosh baruch hu, where we reach the point nagila v'nisbecha ba b'chav beis osir shebetorah, that on simchas Torah we rejoice with hakadosh baruch hu mamish kaviyachol inside of us, as we'll discuss what that means in a moment. In order to reach that madrega, the first step is v'samachta b'chol atov, and that's not referring to the mitzvah of simcha b'poel. The first step is hodah. This, by the way, is a social analysis as well. There's something beautiful about some groups of Hasidim, I'm not going to say anything more specific than that, that emphasize the idea of constantly being besimcha and so on and so forth. At the same time, one has to realize that the process of simcha is a process. It's not something that, you know, a person wants to get simcha, so he blasts some music on his radio and he dances on the side of the road and he chants a few mantras. That doesn't create true simcha. True simcha is a process. And that process starts with the Bechina of Hodah with its two meanings. Okay. So let's now begin to examine how we're going to go from this Bechina of Hodah, we're done discussing now Hodah, to the Bechina of Simcha of Yom Tov, to this point of Iskarvus HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So we're projecting ahead, but hopefully once we project ahead, that will help us in our avoda right now. Now the Mahalach that Be'ezer Hashem I would like to present tonight is based on a beautiful shmuz by the other Ramosha Shapiro. Not the Ramosha Shapiro who's saying deep things tonight on the other side of Yerushalayim, but Rav Moshe Shmuel Shapiro Zatzal. Rav Moshe Shmuel Shapiro was probably the most illustrious Talmud of the Brisker Rav, who passed away a couple of years ago. You might be familiar with his Sfarim on Lamdus, probably the most Lamdusha writer of the last generation, just passed away shortly, called Kuntres HaAviurim. So he has a sefer on Drush called Zahav Mishva. And in that sefer, Rav Moshe Shmuel Shapiro has a fascinating observation about how Simchas Yom Tov works. And here is where I'd like to trace his description of Simchas Yom Tov and connect it to our responsibilities also in building a home, Be'ezer Hashem B'Yisrael. Rav Moshe Shmuel points out that there are four different dargas of Simcha through Chazal. The basic chiyuv we all know is the Gemara in Pesachim that describes, in Perek Arvei Pesachim, that describes that the mitzvah of simcha is that a person has to be mesameach his wife and be mesameach his children. That's the first madrega of simcha. That mitzvah of simcha applies in every Yom Tov. So part of what we're marching towards on Sukkot is that mitzvah of simcha of being misameach others. Now, I was always bothered. At the end of the day, this type of simcha is such a base way of describing the mitzvah of simchas yom tov. At the end of the day, what do Chazal speak about? Men drink wine, women you buy clothing for them, and children you buy candy for them. So is this does hey simchas yom tov? Is this really, really what simchas yom tov is all about? Why emphasize this the pu'ulas? Now, we've spoken about the past that Soloveitchik said that, of course, it's not only the pu'ula, that there's a kiyum shebelev, that's important. But yet, Chazal described, when it comes to the mitzvah Simchas Yom Tov, they describe this mitzvah in such a base manner. And I think the answer to why Chazal do it is not something very, very fancy. It's something that's very, very simple. It's sublime. But it's something that's extremely, extremely important on this first Madrega of Simcha in Avodas Hashem. And that is what Chazal are telling us, is that every single one of us has to think about Simcha b'masha ra'ui l'nafsho u'l'nafsha. Every single one of us has to think what type of Simcha is appropriate for our own nefesh and for the nefesh of our wives. And that is a real avoda. That is a deep, deep avoda in Avodas Hashem. In other words, when Chazal is saying men like this, women like this, and children like this, what Chazal are saying is that there is an avoda that needs to take place in which a person begins to think, what's appropriate for me in my avoda? Men are going to need different things, and women are going to need something else. Now what this is mechayev us for is that sense of honesty, of hodah, to be, in this case, to be modeh, of what our strengths and what our weaknesses are, and to use those strengths and weaknesses in hiskarvus to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's in turn on our own personal level. In terms of our spouses, there's something else that's extremely important for us to think about. Women are from Women are from Venus and men are from Mars. Gifts, John Gray describes, are very, very different when they're given on Mars and when they're given on Venus. In Mars, that's where the men are? Where the men are, when they give gifts, what's thought about is something that's practical. What's most valuable is a gift that's practical. In Venus, it works differently. Somehow, for some reason, the less practical the gift is, the more meaningful it is. Doesn't make any sense. Okay. But what's the omic? No, there is a little bit of a logic over there in Venus. You know what the logic is? The logic is that when we're giving the gift, it has absolutely nothing to do with any utilitarian goal. I'm not buying you the gift because I want you to cook a little more, so therefore I'm buying you a better pot. But rather, I'm buying you the gift simply because I ma'arich you. I value you. I love you. That requires a tremendous amount of effort from the perspective of Mars, because that is so much against our inherent netiyah. Our netiyah is to think in the opposite way. The way we're ma'arich others is by giving them something that's practical. No. The exact opposite. That's the first avoda of simcha. The first avoda of simcha is, number one, is to dig deep inside ourselves and understand what is our kochos and how we could use that in being mesameach and avodas Hashem. And number two is, in terms of thinking of our spouse, which the Rambam of course describes in the end of Hilchos Yom Tov, that those people who think that the mitzvah of Simchas Yom Tov is to eat and drink and not to share with others, the Rambam says that they've missed the essence of what Simchas Yom Tov is all about. But what it means is not just simply to invite other people over, is to really, really think about the needs, the emotional needs of one's wife, children, extended family, and ultimately all of Klal Yisrael. Let's be even sharper on this first nekuda. Last week's parasha, we had the description of someone in his first year marriage being exempt for war. And the Torah says, V'samach es ishto. There's a very, very interesting Rashi. It says the first year he's supposed to be with his wife, excuse me, I pronounced the pasuk incorrectly, V'simach es ishto, asher lakach. In fact, the way I read, the way I vowelized the pasuk is exactly what Rashi tells us not to do. Rashi says that the Targum should be translated that one should cause one's wife to rejoice, as opposed to rejoicing with one's wife, Rashi says, because if it would be rejoicing with one's wife, then it would say v'samachas ishto. Okay, the digduk is not for our purposes right now, but again, Rashi says v'simachas ishto means not to rejoice with one's wife, the chasan, but rather means he makes her rejoice. Rabosai, this is not just a question of digduk. This is the essence of what marriage is all about. The mitzvah of ona, and this is, it's easy to say, it's a little bit harder to live. The mitzvah of ona is a chiyuv for the husband to the wife, and not the wife to the husband. Which means it's the husband's responsibility, even though the nature of God's world, the biological nature of God's world, is that the man, darko shel ish, lachzor al ish, v'ein darko shel ish, lachzor al ish. HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells us that the way our house is supposed to be built is that when it comes to intimacy, it's our responsibility to be thinking about the needs of one's wife. There's no chiyuv for the wife to have that in mind, because mamela, the men are going to want to. But the husband has a responsibility to v'simachas ishto. That's the basic chiyuv of simcha in Avodas Hashem. And it starts at home. If we're successful to do it at home, then Be'ezer Hashem will be successful to do it others. If we're not successful, if we're self-absorbed, then ultimately, chas v'chalil, we can never reach the true madrega. One more application that we really need to think about in our marriages. Another chiluk between Mars and Venus, which is a totsah, all is a totsah of this chiyuv of this simachas ishto, a totsah of Yom Tov, the chiyuv to be mesameach one's wife in Yom Tov. The Torah already tells us that men, by nature, are more goal-oriented than women. And it could be the two subjects are connected, the hainu. That men, because they're more goal-oriented, also have a little bit more of this drive, the sexual drive, and for that reason needs to be balanced by thinking more about one's wife. As the Torah tells us, milu ha'aretz v'kivshua. That's said in regards to man. Men are those who are goal-oriented. Girls tend to be more feeling oriented. Even girls who are very, very capable. We're not talking about chas v'chalila, an inequality. We're talking about a different style. So let's talk in very, very practical terms. I spoke about this last year, but I think this is something that needs to be emphasized again this year. A lot of times we'll come home at the end of the day and one's wife will say, I had a hard day, I had a tough day. And the husband will say, so what went wrong? She says, you know, the babysitter was supposed to come at 9 o'clock in the morning, and I had a test at 10 o'clock. The babysitter only came 9:45. I came late to the test. And then the proctor made me give the exam early, and then when I went home, my mother called and she told me this. Sounds a little bit familiar? Okay. What's the husband's reaction? So on Mars, when there's a problem, because we're goal-oriented, what do? We put on our fix-it hats. So we say, let me call the babysitter and ask her to make sure that doesn't happen again. Or maybe, if we know the babysitter's going to do it again, so instead of asking her to come at 9, we'll ask her to come at 8, she'll come at 9. Whatever it might be. And all of a sudden, the husband turns around to the phone with utmost sincerity, and all of a sudden his wife bursts out in tears. What happened? The husband was very, very sincere, but what he was missing was the realization that his wife wasn't necessarily looking for a solution at that particular moment. What she was looking for was someone to really, really hear how she was feeling. And a lot of times, what's kedai for us to force ourselves to do is just to say over to her what we heard her say before we do anything. to show her that we really, really heard what she was saying. That's someone who's misameach his wife. That's someone who's really, really sensitive to the fact that men's simcha are different than a woman's simcha. Someone who really, really is thinking v'simachas ishta. Madrega number two of simcha. Usmachtem lefnei Hashem elokeichem shivas yamin. There's only two places by Yom Tovim that we speak about experiencing lefnei Hashem, in front of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Yom HaKippurim and Sukkot. So we're on that march, Bezer Hashem, towards Yom HaKippurim and Sukkot. But we're looking now at the Chalos. When it comes to Yom HaKippurim, so how's lefnei Hashem manifest? Lefnei Hashem is manifest that we deprive ourselves exactly like angels. We stand in front of HaKadosh Baruch Hu like Malachim. But how do we stand in front of HaKadosh Baruch Hu like Malachim? We stand at HaKadosh Baruch Hu like Malachim by Shuto Kamash, or act like Malachim on Sukkot. How's it with Nei Hashem? Okay, we eat, we drink, we're merry. Could be being merry is Avodas Hashem. Ein Shechin Nishor Elim Tov Simcha. For sure. Nachman of Breslov said Mitzvah Gedolias to Simcha Tamid. In fact, I have to tell you the truth that originally when I wrote about when I wrote down Simcha, I wrote Mitzvah Gedolias to Simcha Tamid. Then I asked myself, is that a Chazal? So I rewrote it. I rewrote it as Ein Shechin Nishor Elim Tov Simcha. That's a Rashi. But either way, how to be magdir it? But that's lefnei Hashem. I understand when it comes to Yom HaKippurim, that's lefnei Hashem. But why is Sukkot the bechina of lefnei Hashem? So many Balei Machshava point out that the sukkah represents, sitting in the sukkah represents an avoda of lefnei Hashem on the theoretical level. We need to be masbir that we're mamish in the Anani HaKavod. In other words, after we go through the process of Rosh Hashanah Yom HaKippur, we're at that Madrega to be sitting lefnei Hashem, even in a higher Madrega than Yom HaKippur. Why? How? What exactly does that mean? What does it mean that we're sitting in the Anani HaKavod? What's the process that's taking place from Rosh Hashanah to Yom HaKippur to Sukkot? Also, is there any makar in Chazal of dancing as part of Avodas Hashem? Chatan and Kala, we'll leave that for another time. And also Sukkot, Simchas Beis HaShoeva. Otherwise, we don't find dancing as being a bechina of Avodas Hashem. What is it about dancing and Sukkot? What is it about being Toch Hanani HaKavod? And how does that make us lefnei Hashem? If we're Zolcha Be'ezer Hashem going through this Elul, Rosh Hashanah Yom HaKippurim, then what we'll be Zolcha towards is the ability to relate to HaKadosh Baruch Hu not only in an extreme manner or an abnormal manner, like acting like Malachim, but every single part of the way we're meyaches to HaKadosh Baruch Hu's world could become lefnei Hashem. Only a person who goes through the process of Elul, Rosh Hashanah Yom HaKippurim, could reach that madrega. And that's the chalos of Sukkot. That's the chalos of lefnei Hashem. The famous word from the Rav on Birchas HaTorah, based on the Tosis and Brachas Yud Aleph on the base. And the word is, how could it possibly be that a person could make Birchas HaTorah in the morning and then go out to work and come back at night, he's been working all day, and sit down and learn without making a new Birchas HaTorah? At the end of the day, he's going to have sick. So Tosis' Lashon and Brachas and Yud Aleph is that he's not miyayish from HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Torah. Every single part of his daily routine is seen through the perspective of Torah, and in Echanami there was no Hesed. I always wonder, what about those high school days when we sat in front of the television and watched Sunday football from 1 to 8, and then we went out to study for our Gemara final the next day? You know, maybe we should make a new Birchas HaTorah. It's really low nesiyayish. It's our chiyun. But that's the perspective of a person who doesn't make new Birchas HaTorah. He sees everything through that perspective. To really, really live, not only that you see things from the perspective of Torah, but to really, really live every single part of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's world, that you're Lefnei Hashem, the process of Rosh Hashanah Yom HaKippur could reach may help a person reach that Madrega. And that is a Madrega that is a higher Madrega of Avodas Hashem, and that includes the Ramach Evarim Neshesagidim. That's what dancing is all about in Sukkot. Because a person is using his entire guf in Avoda, that he's only capable of reaching that Madrega on Sukkot. And that's why the Sukkot represent being inside the Anani HaKavod. Because his guf is actually ra'ui, if he goes through this process of Hodah, if he goes through this process properly, his guf is really ra'ui to be in the Bechina of Lefnei Hashem. Another application to Darga number 2. Let's apply it. So often, we as Bnei Torah are guilty in defining Avodas Hashem as being something that is way too narrow. What's Avodas Hashem? Torah, Tefillah, and doing a little chesed, doing a chesed project. That's missing the essence of what Avodas Hashem is all about. The essence of Avodas Hashem is not in the Beis Medrash. The essence of Avodas Hashem is hard. And that's why we're shoeif to exalt ourselves in the process of Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippurim. The essence of Avodas Hashem is really relating to every single color, every single shade of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's world with the Veikus, with seeing HaKadosh Baruch Hu in it. And that means even when we're Baruch Hashem changing diapers, even when we're taking the children out for a walk, even when we're going out for our wife with our wife for a walk, when we'd rather be sitting and learning in the Beis Medrash, all of that has the Bechina of Lefnei Hashem. Woe to the person who looks at Avodas Hashem only as his Torah and his Tefillah. That's the second Madrega, that's a Madrega that's unique to Sukkot and Yom HaKippurim. Both of them are Lefnei Hashem. Sukkot is Madrega Lefnei Hashem, is a Madrega being Mekadesh, all of the Gashmis. Madrega number 3 of Simcha of Sukkot is hit only in Shmini Atzeres. HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, the famous Chazal, the famous Medrash, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, Kosha Elai Pedaslam, it's difficult for me to see you leave, stay with me another day. Ramesh Shmuel is magdirit like this. We've gone for Simcha, and we spoke about Simcha that's unique to ourselves, and Simcha in really being thoughtful of what's unique to others. That's Madrega 1. We spoke about the Simcha, the Madrega of Sukkot of Lefnei Hashem, Usmachim Lefnei Hashem Elokeichem. Now, Ramesh Shmuel says, the next Madrega of Simcha is Im Hashem. It's not only being in front of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, it's mamish being with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. In other words, a person could feel that every single thing that he does is holy. That's a tremendous Madrega. He has the Bechina of being Lefnei Hashem, that every single one of his experiences 24/7 is Lefnei Hashem. But there's something deeper in Shmini Atzeres. The Shmini Atzeres, the Bechina, is not only Lefnei Hashem, it's Im Hashem. And what that means is there's a bi-directional relationship between you and HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That HaKadosh Baruch Hu walks hand in hand with us. That HaKadosh Baruch Hu is right next to us. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu we could speak to at any moment. The Kotzker Rebbe says HaKadosh Baruch Hu is wherever you let him in. But if a person is really, really, really lets him in, so then he could really feel HaKadosh Baruch Hu with him at every moment. How many of us, when we're in a tough spot, could be we're stuck in traffic, could be we're we've gone for an interview, or we're about to go into an interview, We're about to say a shiur, and we're nervous. How many of us really, really talk to HaKadosh Baruch Hu? Not only when we have to get up 3 times a day. How many of us feel that we could really just speak to HaKadosh Baruch Hu? A person who's begun to feel that is a person who's begun to have a sense of Im Hashem. Shmini Atzeres is the highlight of that, because HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, I want to be with you, I want that bi-directional relationship. There's one more step. The Medrash says that the day of Simchas Torah, the day of Shmini Atzeres, is also a different bechina. Heviyani HaMelech Hadar of the Pasuk in Shir HaShirim says, Nagila V'Nismach HaBach. Kadosh Baruch Hu says to Klal Yisrael, I'm going to bring you into my inner chambers. Nagila V'Nismach HaBach. I'm going to rejoice Bach. Bach means inside of you. Rav Moshe Shmuel claims that there's a higher madrega than not only Lefnei Hashem, not only Im Hashem, but when HaKadosh Baruch Hu is mamish inside of us. How does one reach that madrega? So that's the Chaf Beis Osi Yoshev B'Torah. Chazal say to Bach means the Chaf Beis Osi Yoshev B'Torah. And that's when Torah becomes infused, not only in a person's general worldview, how he looks at things, but his whole being. His whole being becomes fused with Torah. I just like to be most of what Rav Moshe Shmuel is saying. It's interesting that the pasuk in Shir HaShirim starts out, Moshcheni acharecha narutza, heviyani hamelech hadar v'nagil v'nismach haba. Moshcheni is in the singular. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, pull me towards you. Narutza, Moshcheni acharecha narutza, we will run after you. In other words, we're begging HaKadosh Baruch Hu, give me a little bit of a pull, then narutza will all run after you. But it's strange. The dibduk, it's mashcheni, that's in the singular. Narutza, we will run after you. So which one is it? Similar to the question that we had asked before. Is it v'samachta on this week's parasha in contrast to the sukkah's description? Is it v'samachta in the singular? Or is it usmachta in the plural? So here, but here it's in the pasuk itself. Mashcheni acharecha HaKadosh Baruch Hu, pull me after you. Narutza, we will run after you. It should be Mashcheni acharecha arutza, or Mashchenu acharecha narutza. But why does it start in the singular and end up in the plural? And the answer is because Chazal explained that Bach means HaKadosh Baruch Hu inside of the person, in the Dahainu, that the Torah becomes mamish suffused with his entire being, he becomes one with Torah. So then in such a case, he has a unique chelek in Torah. V'sein chelkenu v'sarasecha. He has a unique chelek in HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Torah. And that's very, very important in terms of our avodah. In our avodah, to realize that there are two steps. There are two things that are happening in our simcha simat Torah. We're about to finish simat. Two things that are happening. One thing that's happening in our Siyum HaTorah is that we're finishing as a klal. But there's something else that's happening. And that is, every single yachid has his own unique chelek in Torah. And now we come full circle. If we're going to reach the madrega of true hodan to be modeh, which will lead ultimately in the chalos, that not only will we be lefnei Hashem, not only will we be im Hashem, Bomamish bibach, inside of the person, his entire being will be fused with it. The only way that can happen is if the first step is honest enough that it's tailor-made for you. That your hodah, that your moda is something that's honest in who we are. Of course, there's no Hasidic Shemaisa that's as famous as the story of Rav Zusha, who was once confused with his great brother, the Rebbe Ramelech, and Rav Zusha said, I'm not worried about people comparing me to my brother Ramelech, because one day I'm not going to be asked, why wasn't I Melech? I'm going to be asked, why wasn't I Zusha? And that's something that we have to really, really honestly ask ourselves of who we are and what's going to be our chelik in Torah. Rav Zush and Rav Melech had an absolutely fascinating story. Maybe they internalized this because of that. When they were young, they were traveling together, and they stopped at a town. At that time, no one knew who they were. They were poverty-stricken. They would go from town to town, learn a little bit with the children, do a spodidus, and then when some of their greatness was revealed to others, they would move on. So they came to the town, and it was Friday night, and they hadn't eaten a good meal the whole week. And after davening, they were hoping that someone was going to invite them over for davening, and for the meal, no one did. Eventually, embarrassed, they went over to the gabbai, and they said to the gabbai, "Is there someone that can have us over for a Friday night meal?" So the gabbai said, "Well, actually, we thought about our guests." They said, "You know, it's very interesting how sometimes people take care of their guests. So we thought about our guests. You know, we have a corner over there." He said, "In those days in Europe, it used to be called the Hegdish. The Hegdish wasn't such a Hegdish. The Hegdish was, there was a small corner in one of the rooms by the stove. They used to have a little bit of black bread and some wine and a little piece of gefilte fish. And that was what they had for the Anim. Some other towns that were more hospitable, so people would invite them over. In this case, they weren't invited over, and they had that lonely meal." Many, many years later, the Rebbe Rav Melech was one of the most important legends in the world of Hasidus, and to this day, his name is associated with both the grandeur and the beauty of Dveikus with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And the Rebbe Rav Melech now traveled as a melech, traveled as a king, and he came into the town, and the Rosh HaIr, who coincidentally was now an old man, the same Rosh HaIr now invited Rav Melech to stay by him, the same mayor who was the mayor at that time, who had arranged for the Hegdish. So Rav Melech said, "Okay, I'll come stay by you." He came to the city, and he went to the standard hotel, and he didn't go to the Rosh HaIr's house. Rosh HaIr called for him, and Rebbe Melech didn't come. It was getting close to Shabbos. He called for him again. So Rebbe Melech told his gabbai to send to the fellow his white stallions. In those days, the Rebbe Melech, at the simon of his malchus, his chassidim, brought him white stallions. So he sent the white stallions erev Shabbos to the Rosh HaIr. So it was managed a few minutes before Shkia. And the Rebbe Melech is not here. So he says, "I know the Rebbe Melech waits for Rabbeinu Tam, but still, at the end of the day, it's getting late. Why aren't you coming?" So Rebbe Melech told the gabbai, "Send back to the Rosh HaIr that I came. I'm at his house." So the gabbai brings it back to Rosh HaIr. Rosh HaIr says, "Tell him he's not here." So Rebbe Melech says, "No, explain to the Rosh HaIr I am at his house." He says, "I was here 50 years ago. And 50 years ago, you didn't invite me. What's the difference between me now and 50 years ago? Is now, the only difference that I see," Rav Melech says, "is now I have a bunch of white stallions. I figured you really didn't want me. I figured you wanted my horses." That's a yesod in terms of Avodas Hashem. And that is, what is the essence? Who is Melech and who is Zusha? Who are they? What are their essence? And what are our essence? What is our true kochos? And what are those things that we have to work on? I hope Eitan Yosef Chaim don't figure out which Talmud I'm speaking about. Many years ago, it might be around their time, I had a Talmud who was a very, very fine boy. And his notebook in yeshiva, I noticed, actually I opened his notebook. I normally don't open notebooks. I think I already described this once before, but this is a very, very powerful message. But this Talmud had an absolutely beautiful notebook. It's one, you know, those leather-bound Chidushei Torah notebooks. And this Talmud told me he was really, really struggling in Limud. He said he had a hard time following Shir, and I knew he was very, very bright, and I couldn't understand why, what was going on. So because it was such a beautiful notebook, I didn't know who it was. So I opened it up, and sure enough, it happened to be there was this Talmud. And I turned the page and looked at Shir Aleph. I looked at the what he wrote down. The first Shir was written in an absolutely beautiful handwriting. I'd never seen such a beautiful, neat handwriting, a handwriting that I don't have. And it was beautiful. And then it stopped. Four lines in, he had written every single word that I had said, an absolutely beautiful handwriting stuff. I turned to Shir Bet next day. Six lines, beautiful handwriting, 3 minutes into the Shir, stop. And it went Kohena with Kohena for about another 15, 20 Shirim, and then it entirely stopped. Sometimes there's something that every single one of us has, things that are easy for us and are hard for us. And sometimes we don't even realize what exactly those nekudos are. In this case, with this Talmud, he had no idea that what he was struggling with was a sense of absolute perfectionism. He had to have everything 100% clear, and if he didn't have it 100% clear, that was it. It was over. So, many, many times there are ikuvim that are in our lives. It doesn't have to be as dramatic as what I just described. But there are many, many ikuvim that are in our lives that really have nothing to do, as I described before, with the chalos. Sometimes we need to take that time out and say, okay, these are my kochos. These are my weaknesses. Why are these my kochos? Why are these things difficult for me? And then when we begin to get to that shoresh, so then we begin to make steps. And at the same time, too many times in our avodas Hashem, we end up analyzing ourselves not in a way that's true to who we are. We analyze ourselves in a way that's true to who someone else is. One of my dearest rabbeim in yeshiva is also many of your dearest rabbeim, is Rav Shechter. And because he's so special and he's so unique, I find that sometimes Talmidim are asking themselves, so when am I going to be able to see Shas the way Rav Shechter does? It's ridiculous. It's absolutely ridiculous. I'll tell you a secret. Rav Neven Sal doesn't see Shas the way Rav Shechter does. They see Shas in very, very different ways. Very, very different ways. And of course, you know that Rav Rosenzweig sees it in a totally different way. What's very, very important for us to realize is that there's no reason for us to begin to look to outside for us to create that barometer of who we are as B'nai Torah. If we do, then we're missing the essence of a samachta, that individual of a samachta that refers to Hodah. Because the first step of reaching this madrega, that Torah should be inside of us, the same chalkein of Sarasecha, is that sense of Hodah, admission, and thanks to HaKadosh Baruch Hu for what we are. That's it. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you made me, you're perfect. The kochos that I have are exactly everything that you need, you have. Every single thing that you need, HaKadosh Baruch Hu has given you. And I'm sorry to disappoint you. Some of those things that you don't have, Rav Shechter has. I'm sorry. But that's not your tafkin, that's not my tafkin. It's not always so dramatic. Sometimes it could be the Talmud that's sitting across from us in the Beis Medrash. Sometimes it could be our roommate. I'll conclude mentioning what I always like to say over, that I have to verify with them. They say that Rabbi Branchweber and Rabbi Shechter were roommates. together in YU in the early 50s. And Rabbi Schechter supposedly says that when, this could be verified, supposedly says that always remembers that when he was falling asleep, when he went to sleep at night, I'm sure it wasn't early, when he went to sleep late at night, he said that Abba was still saying Tehillim, was laying in bed saying Tehillim. And Rabbi Braunschweigel supposedly says that when he fell asleep at night, Rabbi Schechter was learning Kodshim. It's a beautiful story. It's a beautiful way of the two perspectives of each one had of each other. But what's fascinating is what would have happened if Rabbi Braunschweigel looked down from the bunk bed and saw Rabbi Schechter learning Kodshim, and he said, I don't know Kodshim. And he would have opened up the Kodshim. And Rabbi Schechter would have looked up and seen Rabbi Braunschweigel saying Tehillim. And he would have said, where's my Dveikus Hashem? I'm not saying enough Tehillim. What would have happened? Klal Yisrael would be a lot worse off. And that's something that's very, very, very important for us to ask ourselves. In this Bechina of Hodah, are we truly being honest with ourselves? And Be'ezer Hashem, once we reach that Madrega, being honest with ourselves, then we'll be Zelcha to the highest Madrega, all the Madregas of Simcha, but the highest Madrega of Megillah and Mishnah Chafach, 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 Chaf